The new book, Work, Love, and Learning in Utopia, breathes new life into the age-old human preoccupation with how to create a happier society. With a mix of research from cross-cultural psychology, macrohistory, and evolutionary biology, Martin Shainhall's new book gives new credibility to the potential of radical equality. Martin Shainhall's is an anthropologist in the faculty of Appalachian State University. He has previously taught at Columbia, Johns Hopkins, and the University of Pennsylvania. Again, the new book is Work, Love, and Learning in Utopia, and it's a pleasure to welcome Martin Shainhall's to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. Very nice to have you on the program.
Great to be here, Joe.
So what got you thinking about this subject as a whole, of looking at equality and reimagining it?
Well, I have been thinking about writing something like this for a long, long time. So often, those of us who are professors or activists, progressives, policymakers, we're really good at telling about all the things that are wrong with the world. And that's important. But I also think that it's really important to give solutions and to use social science to back up those solutions. And so in a nutshell, that's what I wanted to do in my book, to not only critique society as it is, but propose a new kind of society. And the issue of inequality, of course, is in the news a great deal. And I wanted to look at inequality in all of its manifestations. So often people will write about inequality in the workplace, which is certainly a very important thing and part of my discussion. But there's also inequality in gender relations, inequality in schools, and so many other places. And so that is the motivation for the book, to be a bold proposal for a utopia. And I use the word utopia quite intentionally, because I know that it has a negative connotation, but I want to reclaim the idea and put forward a proposal.
So let us begin with a definition, because my understanding of a utopia was supposed to be it was the business, right? I mean, it was the bee's knees. So how did it become a loaded word?
I don't know. I think it's part of the inability for people to imagine a different world, or reluctance to talk about it, the kind of cynicism that exists, certainly in so many of the circles I've been in. I remember one time, and I cite this in the book, being at the World Social Forum, which was a very hopeful place. It had at one time 100,000 people from all over the world in 2003. And people were talking about what was wrong with society. But then people said, well, what do we propose instead? And no one could give answers. And I thought that was really shocking, because some of the answers, like an end to poverty, an end to hunger, are obvious, and yet people didn't say them. And I don't know exactly why there is that reluctance to talk, hopefully, but it's something that I think we need to overcome. It's telling, isn't it, that the word utopia has those negative connotations, and there's no other real word for describing the kind of hopefulness and imagination that can come with thinking about a different kind of world.
And as you point out, to criticize the idea that joy and pleasure can't measure how we function as a society, I guess my question to you would be, well, isn't it as good as any other measure?
You mean pleasure as good as any other measure?
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. There's something really strange about kind of denying pleasure, joy, and happiness as a means to measuring societies. It's almost so intuitive. That's what we all crave as humans. We know we all crave to be joyful, happy, and to feel pleasure, and yet we're reluctant to say so. And one of the things that I want to say biologically is that pleasure evolved to encourage adaptive behavior. And in humans, it's not only adaptive behavior toward oneself, but also adaptive behavior toward other humans. We feel pleasure oftentimes when nurturing children or being nurtured, and that's most likely the origins of pleasure and happiness evolutionary-wise. So pleasure is not just a kind of selfish and self-indulgent feeling.
How does it fit in with how we, most humans, are hardwired?
That's a really good question, and I'm glad you asked it, because we are hardwired, if we can use that term, to be sharing and compassionate animals. I know it's kind of hard to believe when you look around the way that society is today, but based upon real social science research and anthropology in particular, humans, we know, evolved 200,000 years ago, and we lived from then until about 6,000 years ago without hierarchy, living in small groups and sharing everything of value with each other. And we survived because we were a cooperative species and had the unique capacity to feel compassion for each other. And that's a reality. That's not just something sometimes my friends accuse me of being fanciful and talking this way, but it's a reality that's documented. And it really was only about 6,000 years ago in the context of agriculture and ownership of land and animals that there was raiding between groups that led to warfare and then led to slavery, this enslaving of conquered peoples. And that's the first instance we have of hierarchy.
The title of the book is Work, Love, and Learning in Utopia. When it comes to those three things, work, love, and learning, are they created equal as far as our mastering of them to reach a utopia?
I think they are. There are, of course, the things that are extremely important to our well-being and our happiness, and rightly so. And three things that have been corrupted, really, by hierarchy. We work not because we want to do so, but because we want to achieve status, and that's a hierarchical source of work, and I want to change that. We learn for extrinsic reasons rather than for the pleasure of learning, as young children do, and I want to change that as well. And in love and dating, as my students have told me, has become even worse with social media. People often have boyfriends and girlfriends in order to put them on social media as a kind of emblem that they have somehow succeeded. And that's really sad because love should be authentic and genuine and not a badge of status. It is robbed of any authenticity and any real feeling if that's what it becomes. And so I propose changing that as well. Tall order, I know.
So how do we get on board? Where do we begin?
Well, one place to begin is with work. It turns out, as we all know, that the world is becoming increasingly efficient, that there's increasing automation. You know, a couple of generations ago, our predecessors most likely would have been farmers. My grandparents certainly were. And half of all Americans up until the 1920s were farmers. And farming became so efficient that people moved off the farms. And the same is happening with industrialization, of course, automation. So what that is doing is propelling us into a future where we will have two ways of looking at the situation. If there are robots and autonomous driving vehicles and things doing all of the work, the one and the brutal way of looking at it is, well, I guess the rest of us will all have to starve because we don't have a way to work to earn a living. But the most obvious way to me is to say, if we're producing everything with increased efficiency and with machines, we should distribute the basics of subsistence to all of us. And so that's what I propose. Not a new idea, but an important one. And it's important partially because it gets rid of hierarchy. So much of the hierarchy we experience is the hierarchy of work and the workplace. And if work is not something that we are compelled to do because we need to survive and live under the fear that if we don't do it, that we will die, which is a horrible feeling. If we work and create because we want to do it, that will lead to so much more pleasure and so much more joy in such a central part of our life. And so I'm proposing that basic guarantee as a way to jumpstart basic equality.
The book is fascinating. It's called Work, Love, and Learning in Utopia, Equality Reimagined. Martin Shainhalls, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
And a pleasure to be with you too, Joe.
Thank you very much.
I really enjoyed it.
Thank you. Again, the title of the book is Work, Love, and Learning in Utopia. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.